This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not being a jerk. I'm not mocking Mikal Bridges, though I did do that on social media last night when I tweeted at Tommy my tweet of, I'm just watching the awesomeness of Mikal Bridges. You never responded to me. I felt very empty.
I'm not going to empower you because I know what you're doing.
What am I doing?
You're trolling me so that you get a rise out of me, so I'm not going to empower you when you do that.
Did you see that tweet last night?
I did see that, along with the other members of the coalition of Nick haters that were tweeting at me. I did, yes.
Well, I want to promise you this discussion, at least right now, is not about being a Nick hater.
IBO.
Let's go Knicks. What is the biggest issue facing the New York Knicks specifically? I'm going to give you my answer, and then I'm curious your answer. I think the biggest issue, the deepest issue, facing the New York Knicks is their two best players do not defend.
Yep.
Simple as that. Their two best players are defensive liabilities.
One much softer than the other, but yes.
In fact, if you go back to, man, I'm getting the games confused, the game that they won against Atlanta coming out of the break, it's against Atlanta, right?
No. Chicago.
Against Chicago. I'm sorry. Atlanta was going into the break.
Yeah.
If you go back to the game against Chicago that they won, you saw Tom Thibodeau do something he's done numerous times, which is switch out offense for defense late in the game. And the guys he's switching out are Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson, which he's right to do because they're not good defenders. So when I look at, because I think one of the easy answers is, okay, what's the Knicks' biggest issue? They don't defend well enough. I mean, the facts back it up.
Right.
They don't defend well enough. Everybody knows that. I'm trying to dig deeper into the why. You know, I'm not going to just sit here and blame Mikal Bridges, though he deserves some of the blame. Or just blame OG Anunoby, even though he deserves some of the blame. Or talk about how much they miss Mitchell Robinson, which they do. Like, all that's fair. But I want to get deeper. And the deepest issue this team faces, not just now, but next year and the year after, is their two best players, and they are brilliant offensive players. They do not defend. They are hunted out defensively, which we saw yesterday.
They're the reason they climb back into a game with their scoring
in the third quarter. They're great.
But they're the reason why you lose the game versus great teams.
They don't. So, Tommy, do you share that being the biggest issue that faces the New York Knicks today and beyond?
There is definitely some truth to what you're saying. I wouldn't say it's the biggest issue, but I do think there's an obvious, you know, issue.
What is their biggest issue then? If you don't agree with that, totally fine. I'm curious in your opinion as a diehard Knicks fan who watches every game. I do respect that. What's their biggest issue?
They don't match up very well against teams like Oklahoma City, Boston, and Cleveland because of their inability to guard the three-pointer. Now, there's various reasons. Number one, for the Celtics, they stretch the floor. They have a big man that could shoot, and Cat can't defend the three. That's where you are, you know, what you're saying is right.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get out and guard the three-pointer, so KP could just knock down shots the entire time. And they are able to, I think without Mitch, guys are going backwards a little bit here, and they're not guarding the three-pointer. That's Mikal, and that is OG Anunoby. All right, those are specifics now, but yes, the two guys, the stars, don't defend well.
But
overall defense.
But right. So I think we all come back to the same place, which is they don't defend well enough. ESPN wrote this really good article where they went deep into the stats on how bad they are against good teams. Like, we all know if you just go to Basketball Reference or any NBA site that their defensive rating is 20th in the league, which is not good. But when you go deeper and you see how do they do against the top 10 offense, like the offenses you're going to face in the playoffs, they're the second worst team in the NBA. Oof. Like, that's where they fall. So the data backs up the fact that they don't defend well enough. And one thing I hear a lot, and I want to disagree with it respectfully, is because I think I even heard Boomer say this morning, and I just disagree with him, is, well, defense is all effort. Look, I think effort plays a big role in defense, but do you think the Knicks' inability to defend this year, the reason they're 29th against top 10 offenses, do you really think it's just effort? Like, I'll admit, did they come out flat in this Boston game on a Sunday afternoon? Yeah. Absolutely. And they've come out flat at times. But I don't know if I can just say, yeah, they're 29th in defense against top 10 offenses because they don't try. I don't know if I could say that.
No, sometimes you're just not good despite trying.
And specifically, right. The guys who aren't good
right.
are the two incredibly gifted offensive players in Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson.
I don't think Jalen Brunson isn't not trying on defense. Do I think sometimes he leaves a little gas in the tank for the offensive end? Yes, but it's not an effort issue.
I don't think it's an effort issue.
You have five guys on the floor and two of them literally are just not good at something, but you can't take them off the floor entirely because they're the best at the other end of the floor.
Right.
And it's a real issue.
You can do that when you have a timeout in the final few seconds like they did in the Chicago game, and it worked out. Like when Mikal had that great block against Vukovic, those two guys weren't on the floor.
Yeah. It also, and this is where Mitch coming back is going to help, it's not really a great thing when on the defensive end, Kat forgets he's 7 feet tall too.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Like,
that's where the rim protection comes in, what you miss with Mitch.
Here's where I was saying effort. Here's where the issue is, though, a little bit. A lot of these threes are wide open. So why are guys wide open? I brought up before, without the rim protection, guys like Mikal, guys like OG Anunoby are backing off, right? Because there's penetration and it's allowing guys to be wide open from three. And in this modern day NBA, everyone on the floor can knock down threes. This isn't 1995. Everybody could shoot three-pointers. So a lot of these threes are uncontested, and I think people will point to the effort, but I think it's a lack of, not that Mitchell Robinson's making up for 40 points. They're getting blown out in these games, but it will help with him coming back.
I'm raising my hand.
Go ahead.
Before I calm Knick fans down, because I promise I will, do you give me permission in a fair way? I will be so fair to absolutely verbally destroy Mikal Bridges. Is that okay, or will it be personal?
God.
No, you can.
Oh, I can.
You have that right as a Sports Talk radio host.
Thank you very much. And understand, even though I'm wearing a Brooklyn Nets sweatshirt, I am not saying this with any malice or callous or anger or bitterness.
The Nets still in the league.
I'm giving you an observation. I watched Mikal Bridges for a couple of years. He's better than this. And I didn't even love him as a Net. He's better than this. And I'll give you two things specifically he is better than that I don't see with the New York Knicks. And we could try to dive into the whys. He, fighting through screens, is weak and soft. And I don't get it. He didn't do that in Brooklyn. He didn't do that in Phoenix. He doesn't fight through screens well enough. And for a guy who's supposed to be this elite defender, and you certainly gave up enough picks thinking he was an elite defender, that kind of crap is unacceptable. That's number one. Number two, offensively, Mikal, I don't know if it's your streak. I don't know if it's the amount of games you played. Boy, you are afraid of contact. Mikal Bridges goes to the free throw line as often as I do. Why? Why is Mikal Bridges averaging the lowest amount of free throw attempts in his entire NBA career? Why? Why does he run away from contact? Why? So when I look at the inability to fight through screens, and I look at his lack of defense for the most part, like, I'll give him credit for that play at the end of the Chicago game. I just said it. I'll say it again. It was a great defensive play. It's not like he doesn't make them. But why on a nightly basis does he not fight through screens? Why? Why on a nightly basis is he afraid of contact? Why? And I guess I could spitball and say, maybe it's the consecutive game streak. Maybe he's played so much. Maybe he's not. I don't know the answer, but the one thing I don't think anyone can argue with me on is those two criticisms of Mikal Bridges are true.
I wonder if there with Bridges now is like this, I hate using this term because it feels like overplayed, the alpha-beta thing where in Brooklyn when he comes over from Phoenix, he's the man. In Phoenix, he's a young pro trying to, you know, make his way with another young pro in Devin Booker. And so I wonder if he gets here and he goes back to his Villanova days and he's just not the alpha in the room. And therefore, it leads to more tentativeness. He's afraid to make mistakes that ultimately lead to more mistakes. He's almost intimidated by osmosis by Brunson and Hart and those guys. Just throwing out a theory.
I will say Mikal in these big games or against elite teams doesn't make a big impact.
Why? He played in the finals with the Suns. He's used to this. This isn't new for him.
I just felt like yesterday, and he's included in this, in that first quarter, they were all tentative. They all, like, literally themselves. Like, it was like it took till the bench to come in, Campaign, who has Goyuns, and Shamit to actually, like, loosen things up. And then in the third quarter, guys were being more aggressive.
That's no excuse coming off the
I'm not making an excuse. I'm just making an observation. In that first quarter, they were not ready to play. They were non-competitive. And I think across the board, all five, except for maybe Josh Hart. Josh Hart always brings it. I didn't see the intensity in that first quarter that I want to see. And in the third quarter, I did. Now, you want to tell me Boston, who I do believe has an on and off switch. Maybe their off switch was on that during the third quarter. But Cat was attacking the basket.
Oh, no doubt, by the way. And I think that's why I could not.
They were still being aggressive in that third quarter. Look, and the bench was in the second quarter.
I give the Knicks credit. They made it a four-point game. And they took a game in which they were getting blown out and at least made you sweat for a second. But the Celtics flipped a switch.
Yeah, they're the only team in the league that can do that.
They played with their food, as you like to say. And their food started to fight back, and they're like, ah, enough of this crap. And they put you away. But I do really, and I mean this genuinely, because I think I've been pretty consistent whenever we've talked about this, the rare times we've talked about good basketball teams on this radio station, because we haven't had a lot of time.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to stand by something I said to you guys a year ago, in which I was the bad guy, or even a decade ago, in which I basically didn't get too excited about my own team. It is February 24th. We got to stop acting like three regular season games against the Boston Celtics mean a damn thing in the middle of May. It doesn't. We have to stop acting like a few regular season games against Cleveland in the middle of February mean a damn thing when it comes to May, because it doesn't. Good or bad. So I get it. You see the flaws. I think we had a nice conversation on what those flaws are. But the one thing we got to pop out of our brain is the idea that because they've been blown out by the Celtics three times, they can't compete with them in the middle of May. And you want to know why I say that? Because a lot can change between now and May. A lot can change. Starting on their end, how do we know the Celtics are getting there in the middle of May healthy? That's number one. Number two, the Boston Celtics have played more basketball than anybody over the last 3 years. How do we know they're not running out of gas when we get there in the middle of May? How do we know that? How do we not know that the chemistry, which I think is a small part, but it does take time in basketball, how do we not know that when we get to the middle of May and the Knicks win a hard-fought series against Cade Cunningham and the Detroit Pistons, they are in a more battle-tested, tougher team than the crap we saw yesterday afternoon? The one thing I am sick of, I'm sick of it when you're too giddy, I'm sick of it when you're too moping down, is to act like games in February mean a damn thing about April and May. It does not. So, Knicks fans, stop being losers, get your head out of the toilet, and don't give up on a season on February 24th, because right now the Celtics are better than you. They are. Well, guess what? You're not playing a best-of-seven series tomorrow. You're playing them in 2.5 months. So I'm not one. Even when my Nets swept the Heat, remember that? In 2014, that didn't even excite me.
It didn't matter.
Because I was like, what the hell does that mean? Or when you guys were beating your chest, slashed, oh, we were the best. I was like, yeah, you're the best in January. You're the best in February. What does that mean in April and May? And you guys saw what happened. You got hit by injuries. And what happened? You lost.
All right.
So I want to calm the Knicks fan down. I want to put my hands around your back and give you a massage and remind you, it's going to be okay.
Let's go Knicks.
Until it's not okay. Well, right now, it's okay.
That's where you throw in. So I applaud you being ultra positive, because on the station today, you've heard a lot of negativity.
I'm not being ultra positive. I reject that before you continue. Right. I'm being realistic, and I'm being the same guy I've been for 15 years when it comes to this crap. So don't paint me as being positive. I have no reason to be positive. I'm reminding you the same thing I've reminded everybody for years. It's February.
A lot can change. Here's what we do know. The Celtics finally have proven something. They went and won a finals. These Knicks, and now this new group of Knicks, have not proven a damn thing outside of being able to beat the Sixers in a first-round series. Evan, okay, you're right. If the Celtics get a few big injuries and run out of gas, the Knicks could hang in a second-round series. That sounds like that's the basis of your argument. Okay, you want to bring in the Knicks' chemistry issues. Put truth serum in you right now. You've seen this. You could say the February basketball doesn't matter. What's your confidence level at if you see the Knicks?
I'm not confident. What did I say I am?
But then I can't blame Knicks fans for feeling that way if you're not even confident trying to give the spin.
Watch this. Why'd they lose to the Pacers last year?
Attrition, injuries.
And you're not being sarcastic. You're being real, right?
Right.
Why'd the Knicks lose to the Pacers last year, Tommy?
Attrition.
I rest my case.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right, I rest my case.
There's a big difference between wishing and hoping, even though it sounds horrible, about Celtics injuries happening, which they could, and understanding that OG Anunoby got traded here with chronic issues. He ended up getting banged up. He was a big part of it. Yes, at the very end, Brunson breaks his hand. Yes, the Mitch, you know, tug from Embiid. Yes. The Knicks get run into the ground by their coach minute-wise. And we all acknowledge that contributed to the injury.
Let me counter that. Does Kristaps Porzingis have an injury history?
Yes.
Are you, like, super confident he's going to be healthy come the middle of May?
No, but I'm also super confident the Knicks can and will lose to the Celtics without him.
Hold on. I'm asking you about the Celtics
yes,
now.
Okay. Start with Tatum and Brown.
No, I'm not done yet. I started with Porzingis. I'll start wherever the hell I want to start.
Okay.
Drew Holiday. Has he played a lot of basketball over the last few years?
Of course not.
How old is he? Of course not. He's played a ton of basketball over the last few years.
Yeah.
And how old is he? He's getting up there in age.
He's got to be, what, 33?
He's got a little bit of an injury history. Okay. Number three, and this is where I'll rest my case before, you know, whatever. The Celtics have played a lot of basketball over the last few years. A lot. In fact, that basketball has extended to a later part of the calendar because if you go back to COVID times, when they were getting knocked out by the Nets in 2021, that first round was in May. So when you look at the calendar and the amount of minutes that these guys have played over the last 4.5 years, it's a lot. So I don't think it's crazy to say that the Celtic team we see in May not be the same team you saw on a Sunday afternoon in the middle of February.
All right. So the big plan is just hope they're worn down by playing a lot of basketball.
I didn't say it's a plan. I said I don't believe in giving up or realizing, we're done in the middle of February when there's literally only three teams in the league that you've struggled against. If you take every other playoff team, like 2-seed through 6-seed, real playoff teams.
They played well versus Denver.
What's their record against all those teams? Does anybody know?
Their record is excellent if you take out OKC, Boston, and Cleveland. Their record is great either way, but those are the three teams.
I acknowledge that those three teams have looked head and shoulders above them.
And the
totally
Lakers
agree.
Blew them out at the Garden here a couple weeks ago, if you want to throw them, because they're a different team now with Luka.
I'm including the Lakers. If you include all the playoff teams, not the very top, they're 11-6 against those teams. So the idea that they just simply wilt against any good team is not true. They wilt against not the five best teams, the three best teams in the league.
Two of them are going to be in their way.
One of them is in their way, and if they get past them, trust me, you won't be scared of the other one.
Now, here's where I got to step in.
Patriots and Steelers.
The Celtics are a wagon. They were great last year without KP. Their record was like excellent when he wasn't on the floor. That's just how good they are. So Boston is just on a different level right now, and I don't even know if OKC is even on their level. They're just on a ridiculous level. And two things could be true. Number one, you're right. The season is not over. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know about injuries. We don't know if this Knicks team chemistry could get better. Obviously, with Mitchell Robinson coming back, OG Anunoby clearly isn't himself these last two games. He's tentative. He's coming back from an injury. But those two things make up for 40 points. They're getting blown out in these games. So on one hand, season's not over. But on the other hand, they're non-competitive against the elite teams. So like I said, they have to make up 25, 30, 40-plus points against teams like the Cavs, OKC, Boston, if you want to throw the
Lakers
in there.
Doesn't work that way. When you play them in May, you have to make up. It's a whole new game, bro. It starts over.
And here's the other thing, too.
Zero. What are we talking about?
And we've left this out. And this is where I think a lot of Knicks fans feel this way about this season.
Yeah.
The team from last year, and I hate doing this, but they're being compared to the team from last year.
The team this year is better than the team from last year.
I agree. This is the most
talented roster. You guys can keep arguing it.
I agree, Evan.
I still think you're wrong.
But people love the fact that that team, and I know this is what you want me to say, and you got me there, is that the team last year would spill their guts on the floor. You had to literally just rip their heart out and eat it to beat them. And there are times, especially against the top teams here, where they lay their sword down and it's over in the first quarter. And the Knicks fan wants to see them battle to the final second, even if they lose by 10.
Is that what it is? Or has the expectations changed?
The expectations are
absolutely... That's the big difference.
But the expectations for this year are also completely unrealistic to think they're going to win an NBA title this year. Completely unrealistic.
Okay. My good friend, and he is a member of the coalition, I admit that, Michael Jefferson Aloysius Paseglia, good buddy of mine, used to work here at Odyssey, put a question out on social media. He said, who would win a best-of-seven series, this year's Knicks or last year's Knicks? This year's Knicks would win in five.
Yes.
Just to put in perspective, for anyone who wants to play this game, last year's team was better. Last year's team wasn't better. They did change, but you changed. You all changed. Because your bar was completely different a year ago as to what it is today. This team is better than last year's team. It just is. It's one of the best offensive teams the Knicks have had in their lifetime.
I cannot believe, though, that Tommy has changed to the expectations for this team.
This year?
We're so... Tommy.
NBA title is...
After the Bridges in Town Street, June, September,
hold on a second.
Every Lugau, we're talking about this is the year. They're going to do damage.
No. Hold on.
Now you flipped around the table.
That's what a way to twist that one.
Well,
they can still win an NBA title, and I believe they will in this window. You want to say it's 3 years? Okay. You want to say it's 5 years? Give me the team in the NBA based on having two new starters. I brought up Boston on the show before.
All right,
Tatum and Brown. Hold on. Tatum and Brown took multiple chances to win an NBA title. They bring in KP. They bring in Holiday. Those two guys, the maturation process to get better. OKC, they've been knocking at the door. I think they're going to win an NBA title. It takes time. Role players do matter. Chemistry does matter. The expectations are higher with New York. I understand that. But to think that they were going to win an NBA title this year, and I think this is Evan's point, people giving up in February because, well, they're not winning an NBA title. The odds of them winning the NBA title this year were, in my opinion, on a delusional level when you consider how hard it is to win a title with all these new players.
You're going to make me into Evan now. Now I'm going to have to go back through the archives and just to prove my point. Evan, you're going to get your wish. I'm going to do a little work this week.
Good, please.
I'm going to, because I know what you said. By the way, I think what you're saying now in February 2025 is realistic. I just want to know, were they heavy? Were they heavy?
Go ahead with your dopey joke.
The goalpost you just moved.
No, I never... If I said it, I'll own it, but find the part where at any point this year I said this team was winning the NBA title.
That's the key, okay? I'm not doing it. This is your project, Sean.
I can't wait.
And you should go back. Lou Gower
was on...
These
dates are going to be easy, right after the Carl Anthony Towns, because I know what I heard.
Okay. And find the point where I said they're not winning the NBA title this year. I just said expectations of thinking they're going to win the NBA title.
I mean, you basically ruled out an NBA championship within the last 5 minutes of the show.
I won't lead us.
I mean, you just admitted it. You just said it's not happening. They were unrealistic expectations.
I said they were unrealistic expectations. Doesn't mean they're not going to happen.
It's unrealistic expectations for the Nets to win an NBA championship. Not the Knicks. You guys went out and just traded all your draft picks for players. I mean, you're trying to win.
And one more thing. You want to make the comp that it took the Celtics core forever as a young quarter to win a title? I'm with you. Stop using Oklahoma City as an example. Oklahoma City, it's been like the last year, 2 years, seriously, since SGA took off.
And they haven't won a title yet.
You're acting like it's
been
6, 7
years. They haven't won a title yet. They might not even go to the finals this year. The Lakers might. Or even
Thunder haven't won anything yet. I happen to really like them. I think most of us do.
But Thunder had true title expectations.
I understand.
But the Celtics are a well-oiled machine that took years to build their team. The Knicks are, because I've seen this also, they've been building the team for a while. Yes, but the Knicks are still building that championship team. It might be this year they win the NBA title, but there's still that 3 to 5 year window. Oh, that we're just going to ignore that? That doesn't exist anymore?